speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
In Matthew 16:18, our study this morning shall surround the thought of our Lord when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee," speaking to the apostles, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Is it narrow-minded, my friends, to believe that the Lord made the only church there is? You know, it is said by Paul in Ephesians 4:4-6, "Just like there's one God and one Lord and one Spirit, there is one hope and one body and one baptism." So some people accuse us of being narrow when we say there's only one true church, and that is the Lord's church, and the instructions that we must follow in that church are found in the New Testament. You know, if we had the need of a legal opinion concerning a deed or a trust, where would we seek aid? Well, we would turn to a lawyer, wouldn't we? And if possible, one in whom we could have knowledge and trust that he knew what he was talking about. And he may tell us of a flaw in a legal document that requires attention in order to be correct. And you know what? We will be concerned about the expense, time, and the involvement in such endeavors, but surely we'll accept his counsel as authoritative and follow his advice, won't we? Now, we don't think that's too narrow to do. And you know, if we need repairs on our automobile, we will secure the services of a mechanic, won't we? And if possible, one in whom we have knowledge and confidence. He may tell us that in order for the car to operate correctly, we must replace a part, or adjust or change something, or that this must be done or that. Well, we may be gullible and grumble at the repair work if it's extensive, but you know we will seek to follow the suggested course of action to be able to drive safely, won't we? Now, if we have need of a plumber or an electrician for the work around the home, we will secure, if possible, one of whom we have knowledge and believe they can accomplish the job. And that one may tell us that the electrical panel must be changed, or that the water line needs to be replaced, or various other instructions. He may tell us it can't be done that way, or it just must be done with this type of material. And you know what? We'll likely be disturbed a little about the mess and the inconvenience, but we gladly accept the help to fix what is broken, don't we? Now, whether it's securing the services of an architect, engineer, home builder, or even an insurance specialist, we normally go to those who have significant knowledge in that field, don't we? Possibly even get a second opinion, but then we follow their advice. Well, is it too narrow-minded when a lawyer states that it must be a specific way in order for the deed of trust to be clear, right, and acceptable? Is that narrow-minded? Well, why could it not be right to do the things different from the norm, an accepted way? Well, you know why it is right, don't you? You know that he is telling us the correct way to do this. And if we don't accept that, it's not because he's narrow. It's because we don't have the good sense to follow his exact words. Now, when the mechanic says that a Ford carburetor will not work on an Oldsmobile, is he being dogmatic and narrow? Has he tried it? Do you suppose he knows? Does he know that it will not fit or work? Is he prejudiced against that kind of part? Well, I don't believe we would say so. And when an electrician clearly says that the 20-amp fuse will not be enough to protect a circuit, isn't he being too blunt or insisting on having his own way? Maybe he just has always done it that way, and he doesn't know another way. Well, my friends, obviously in these things we would not think nor say the above things, would we? We wouldn't talk that way in reaction to such circumstances. Why not? Authority. Why? Because we accept the facts concerning the matter, don't we? We accept the fact that the lawyer knows, the mechanic knows, and the electrician knows what are essential things for the proper function of our car and of our house and of our electricity. They are narrow-minded to the extent that what is right, what will work, and what is required is narrow-minded. It must be done to accomplish the desired results. And for us to argue with that person would be like arguing with a signpost, wouldn't it? Now, my friends, in spiritual matters, the same principle is applied. Call it narrow-minded, if you will, or legalistic, if you will, or whatever. But the truth is still the truth. In the Bible, we read about the church that Jesus said he would build, Matthew 16:18. And he told a group of people they would not die until they saw the kingdom come with power, Mark 9:1. And our Lord prayed, as is recorded in John 17, that all believers might be one, as he was one with God and God was one with him. He told the disciples also to wait in Jerusalem for the kingdom to come, in Acts 1. And he said, the power shall come upon you at that time of the Holy Spirit to direct you into all truth. Now, Acts 2 provides a record of the establishment of the church that is promised and was promised by our Lord, as well as by the prophets of former dispensations. Indeed, for some 600 years, we find the prophecies and the predictions and the promises of that coming kingdom. Daniel 2:44, for instance, says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Its sovereignty shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Isaiah 2:2-3 and Joel 2:28. They all prophesy things that actually happen. Some 700 to 750 years later, on the day of Pentecost, you see, God is able to look into the future. Time does not bind him. The Apostle Paul stated that there is one body, and had previously in the same letter declared that the church is that one body, and that there are to be no divisions among you. Read Ephesians 4:4 and Ephesians 1:22-23. And then read again 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now, my friends, the way of God must be followed in order to be saved. It's just like following the way of that electrician. If we want it right, we have to follow his orders. And if we want to keep saved, we have to keep following his orders also. You know, if we don't go to the Word of God as the standard for our hope of eternity and follow it, we can't have the hope of eternity. We cannot have the hope of being pleasing in the sight of God. John 12:48 says, if you do not follow my word, it'll judge you in the last day. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, if we accept the word of God as the authority, we can understand and accept it, and we should. Our Savior would not tell us that we can know the truth and the truth will make you free if we could not know the truth and the truth would make us free, or if we could not understand it and thus not be able to follow it in order to be free. But isn't one church as good as another, someone asked? You know, is one signature we might ask as good as another when we go to write a check? Well, if you go to the bank, they'll let you know right quick that one signature is not as good as another. Is one plane as good as another when we desire to reach a specific destination? Does it matter, my friends, which plane you board as to where you're going? Is one road as good as another when we're traveling toward home? Oh, you say, no. We may be on the wrong road. If we are, we have to get on the right road if we want to go home. Well, is that being narrow, my friends? Is that being legalistic? Perhaps some might say so. Is one automobile as good as another when we're considering buying an auto? You know, if we have one in mind that does what we want it to do, that's the one we want to buy. Is one restaurant or grocery store or friend or companion as good as another? We would definitely answer these questions no, wouldn't we? One is not as good as another. To which we would reply, neither is one church as good as another. Now, what is the one that we want to be sure we are a part of? Well, we want to be in the one whose founder and builder is the Lord. You know, of the hundreds of churches in existence today, there are hundreds of builders and founders of these churches. They follow different creeds. They do not follow the New Testament. And the church we read about in the Bible, though, was founded by Jesus Christ, as I read to you in the beginning in Matthew 16:18. The church founded by Christ is better than anyone that is founded by man, my friend. One is not as good as another, is it? Is one head as good as another when it comes to the Lord's church? Jesus Christ is the head of the New Testament church that we read about in the Bible. He was given to be the head over all things, Ephesians 1:22. And he is the head of the church, Ephesians 5:23. And he's the Savior of that body. Now, the many religious bodies in existence today have various types of heads and rulers. Some have ecclesiastical bodies over them. Others have a pope who rules, and yet others have pastor, which rules. Well, is the blood of Christ of no importance? Man may start a religious group or organization, but you know Jesus Christ purchased his church that we read about in the Bible with his own precious blood. Acts 20:28. He never did purchase a denomination. He didn't purchase a church that I might want to establish. The church which cost Christ his blood then is far superior, isn't it, to a religious group that cost nothing. Our Lord deemed it necessary to pay the price for his church. Thus, surely, he considered it of utmost importance. Is any doctrine acceptable today? Many people say it doesn't matter what you believe, you know. But the church that we read about in the Bible follows Christ's doctrine. Unless Christ's doctrine is believed and practiced, the church is not the church of Christ. Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. 2 John 9 says, if you go on and abide not in the doctrine of Christ, you have not God. Well, my friends, is it reasonable to believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, as it is stated in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? You know, it's wise to accept the Bible as the standard of authority, since it is God speaking to man today. And we know that we shall be judged by that word, John 12:48. It is the truth only, that can make us free, John 8:32. My friends, will you hear it? Will you believe it with all of your heart? Will you be willing to repent of your sins, cease to sin, change your mind about sin, and walk in righteousness? Will you confess his precious name before men with your mouth? And will you go with him into the waters of baptism to wash away your sins as you call on the name of the Lord in his appointed way? We're hopeful that you will. It's not narrow. It's not bigotry. It's simply the truth.